ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41. श्री रुद्र उवाच कोपकालो रुद्र उवाच कोपकालो युगांतास्ते अतो अयम असुर अल्पकः दत्सुतं पाहि उपाश्रितं भक्तं ते भक्तवत्सलः. श्री रुद्र उवाच
बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन. लॉर्ड शिवा सेड द एंड ऑफ द मिलेनियम इज द टाइम फॉर योर एंगर. नाउ दैट दिस इनसिग्निफिकेंट डीमन हिरण्यकशिपु हैज बीन किल्ड, ओ माय लॉर्ड, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of material world. There are three processes in creation, namely creation, maintenance, and finally annihilation. During the period of annihilation, at the end of each millennium, the Lord becomes angry, and a part of the anger is played by Lord Shiva, who is therefore called Rudra. When the Lord appeared in great anger to kill Hiranyakashipu, everyone was extremely afraid of the Lord's attitude. But Lord Shiva, knowing very well that the Lord's anger is also his Leela, was not afraid. Lord Shiva knew that he would have to play the part of anger for the Lord. Kala means Lord Shiva or Bhairava, and Kop refers to the Lord's anger. These words combined together as Kopakal refer to the end of each millennium. Actually, the Lord is always affectionate towards his devotees, even though he may appear very angry. Because he is Avyayatma, because he never falls down, even when angry, the Lord is affectionate towards his devotees. Therefore, Lord Shiva reminded the Lord to act like an affectionate father toward Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing by the Lord's side as an exalted, fully surrendered devotee.
Om Agyan Rudra Vacha Kopakalo Yugantaste Hatoyam Asuru Albakaha Tas Sutam Pahi Upasritam Bhaktam Te Bhaktavatsala.
Lord Shiva said, the end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. So when what we have seen is just witness the climax of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, culminating into Lord Narsingdev tearing apart Hiranyakashipu to shreds. And now the Lord is yet to vent out his anger, and the after effects of this killing is still having the effect of fear in the hearts of even in the devotees, the demigods. The demons now been killed. So here the airplanes thrown into outer space, right? Srila Prabhupada mentions that these airplanes were flying long back in the Vedic civilization, shows that these ancient civilizations were more advanced than our civilization. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain in all of this purport about Hiranyakashipu. Till now, we will find the first half of the seventh canto focused about Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, and here in this chapter specifically about Hiranyakashipu. And now that Hiranyakashipu is gone and dead, the focus has to now shift to Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord's Leela is so wonderful that Krishna is as mentioned here by Lord Shiva as Bhakta Vatsal. Bhaktam te Bhakta Vatsala. That means the Lord is affectionate to his devotee, and here is his devotee. But even Hiranyakashipu was the devotee of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranaksha as Jay and Vijay. They were also rendering their devotional service, serving the Lord to satisfy his greed for fight, for chivalry actions. So nevertheless, Hiranyakashipu is still the object of affection of Lord Narsingdev. But now Lord Shiva, who is all the demigods who are appearing there, they have their mood of service to the Lord. So we find Lord Brahma saying in his prayers that everything is carried on by your wonderful activities. Very easily you create the universe. Especially the kind of mood that service one devotee has, they relate to the Lord in that way. So Brahmaji says, since you create the universe, so everything is created by you, enlightened by you. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisance unto me. Lord Shiva comes and says, oh, you are Kopakalo. Because you are anger personified and you destroy everything at the time of annihilation. Therefore, nevertheless, I simply recognize you as the one whose expansion of expansion performs this action of annihilation. Then comes Indra and he talks about sacrifices. His concern, the share of sacrifice. So his idea is that the Lord is accepting the share of the sacrifices and you have taken the share of sacrifice back from Hiranyakashipu. Then the sages are going to offer prayers and they are going to say that you are the source of austerities and our austerities were almost stopped by the activity of the demon. So now we can start back again, having you having killed the form, in the form of Narsingadev. And the Pitrilokas talk about the oblations which were stopped. So everyone, all the demigods themselves are concerned with their own departments. This is typically even in the case of devotees, when they render a particular type of service, wherever they see the connection with the Lord with their service. And they try to mold their activities, mold their consciousness in their particular way. And therefore, Lord Shiva is understanding here Lord Narsingdev as the Kopakalo. And he is trying to align himself with the Lord. I am also Rudra. Just as you are manifesting your anger, I am also Kopakalo. So here it is Kala, means it is Kala Bhairav. So he is trying to associate his service with the Lord. And he's saying that you are supposed to be angry at the time of annihilation. So therefore your anger is not warranted right now. Because this is Alpaka demon. This is Asura who is Alpaka. And even you need not be so angry. So what Lord Shiva is trying to do is to trying to pray to the Lord for himself and also for Prahlad Maharaj. That's how a devotee prays to the Lord. He never prays only for himself. He prays for the community of Vaishnavas, for the benefit of all the mankind. And in this way, we find even Prahlad Maharaj's prayers will depict that same mood of compassion. But still, Lord Shiva has that love and affection for the Lord. And now he's telling that you are Bhakta Vatsal to Hiranyakashipu now. Now that Bhakta Vatsal Leela is over. And now you have to be Bhakta Vatsal to Prahlad Maharaj. Because now the killing of Hiranyakashipu is over. And we'll find that this kind of affection is so beautiful. It is a contrast. Just like the Lord's Leela is like the contrast in the material world. The killing of the demons is, we never find these Leelas in the spiritual world. Right? And this is a very special flavor of the Lord. Where the Lord is extremely angry. And now he is going to be extremely affectionate to Prahlad Maharaj. Very contrasting emotions, difficult for us to even conceive. Especially when we are angry, we don't want the object of affection close to us. Because we may also splash him with our anger. So he says, you just get aside. Even the father is angry sometimes. Even at some other issue, but the son is there. So he will say, go in the other room. Just close the door. And just I will handle the matter. And it is very difficult to exhibit affection in the course of emotion of anger. But the Supreme Lord is so full of all opulences that even in the midst of greatest wrath is the greatest mercy being displayed. So Srila Prabhupada was talking with some of the devotees, and some devotees mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that the Western theologists, they have an idea that God, when He becomes angry, the wrath of God is one of the most discussed issues when you discuss about the punishment. And they, most of the Christians, they talk about the last judgment on the trial, where the soul is judged good or bad. And if the soul is good, goes to the heaven eternally. And if it's bad, goes to the punished in hell for eternity. So they have a very fearful idea of God, that God is angry. I'm a sinful person, so God is going to be very angry upon me. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is not the correct conception of God. If Krishna has the propensity of anger, in fact, if we have the propensity of anger in us, it is coming from Krishna. Does not mean that Krishna does not possesses the quality of compassion alongside. He said Krishna is butter thief, and Krishna is also stealing the hearts of the devotees at the same time. So-called immoral acts may be committed by the Supreme Lord, but these are nothing but the displays of transcendental emotions. And here is what the display of transcendental emotion of the Supreme Lord understood by Lord Shiva. So today we'll try to briefly see in the various leelas of the Lord where this display of anger and the display of affection to the devotees is so beautifully manifested. So we'll try to begin with Lord Krishna angering inciting the anger of Lord Indra. In the Govardhan Leela, Krishna, having incited the pride, having incited anger of Indra, and to destroy the pride of Indra, Krishna stopped the puja, the Indra puja. And then what followed was the worship of the Govardhan Hill in presence of Lord Indra with the whole paraphernalia meant for him. And Krishna made sure that it would be done very immediately, and the same paraphernalia should be used to enough incite the wrath of Indra. And then when Indra called on those Samvartaka clouds, the Samvartaka clouds also were hesitant to splash rainfall, because they were also concerned, because these were not the clouds to be summoned at the time before the annihilation. So therefore they were very hesitant. But then Indra said, I am coming. Your master is coming behind you to support you. You just go ahead. This was the blinding caused by the pride of Indra that he used. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in Krishna book that in fact Indra became so proud at this time that he considered himself to be the supreme personality of God in himself. And only in such illusion he could commit such a heinous act. So Krishna, immediately seeing the distress of especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and there were no distinction between highlands and lowlands, all flooded with water, Krishna immediately lifted the Govardhan Hill. And this pastime was executed as if Krishna was lifting the Govardhan Hill. He was also angry with Lord Indra, having disturbed the residents of Vrindavan. But also he affectionately exchanged his transcendental loving emotions with each of the residents of Vrindavan, because all of those Brajvasis wanted to be with Krishna, because all of them could be Krishna at one particular time of the day. Either the Vatsalya Ras, the mothers, could be with Krishna only in the morning. The Sakhas could be with Krishna only during the daytime. And the Gopis could be with Krishna only during the later hours of the evening. But all of them wanted to see Krishna continuously. They had that long hankering. So Krishna did these two things simultaneously. And with these two things, he reciprocated with each of those devotees. So we find that when it comes to our lives, and we find that how incapable we are as tiny, insignificant jiva to do two tasks at a particular point, time. And very difficult to satisfy two people together. But here we find Krishna satisfying all of his devotees, at the same time curbing the pride of Indra. Even now, even if we look on to go to see the later pastimes of Krishna in Mathura, we find this beautiful leela where Krishna is attacked by Jarasandha, by the 23 Akshani divisions. And the fight that goes on to eliminate all those demons, Krishna invokes two celestial chariots. In fact, they are not celestial, they are descending from Vaikuntha. And they ascend, and they descend to Krishna and Balram, and they ascend on these chariots, and they are fighting. And the description of the fight is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is even more graphic and which has more special effects than any of the movies which give you the special effects of violence. And all of this, it showed that when Krishna was fighting with these arrows, the time when Krishna would pull the bow from the quiver, put it in his string on his bow, stretch it on his bow and release it, all those action was called as, is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as nirantaram. It was continuous. And all of this thing act came to be known as a single action, as if all of this acts performed by the Lord was done simultaneously. And with such great dexterity, Krishna and Balram fought and killed all of the soldiers, leaving aside Jarasandha. And then Jarasandha knowing that Jarasandha would come back again 17 times more, 16 times more after the first fight. And then at the 18th time, Kalyavan also attacked Mathura with 30 million barbaric soldiers. And it was a time when the Mathura was attacked by both sides. And just imagine the emotions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is one side, there is wrath, and at the same time, there is affection for his devotees. So immediately, the concern was, before to eliminate the demons, was to give protection to the residents of Mathura. First, he created a great facility for all of his devotees. A great fortress, and a huge area uncovered, enclave in that fortress. Beautiful palatial buildings, royal palaces, gardens, arches, and beautiful royal constructed turrets, and there were top of the towers, there were watchtowers. All of these things were created by Krishna instantaneously for his devotees. So the one part of Krishna's arrangement for the devotees is to create facilities for his devotees to remember Krishna. So because we are always troubled by the demons, inside and outside, Krishna creates in this facility, this material existence, this oasis, the centers where he sends his devotees to establish a place. This is like Dwarka for us. Like we see gold, we see royal palatial carvings. So Krishna has created this facility through his dear representative, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Swami Prabhupada, who protected all of us from attacking various attacks of various enemies. And Srila Prabhupada defended all of us through two major enemies, the Mayavadis and the scientists. And his blasting, when he would fight with each of these parties, he would be like a lion. And sometimes in course of a discussion, when they would try, the Mayavadis would explain the concept of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, trying to reduce him to an ordinary human being, and to take off the credit of Krishna, Krishna's personal form, and give all glory to the impersonal feature of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada would sometime bang in discussions, in their conversations, where Srila Prabhupada would be so angry, would seem that he would be so angry as if his eyes would become red, just like the time of destruction. And Srila Prabhupada would blast the scientists in a similar way. Why was Srila Prabhupada doing all of these things? Was he just trying to prove a point? He was not trying to prove a point. He was trying, more than proving a point, an affectionate cause for all of us to be protected from these great enemies of ignorance. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada fought in the similar way with these enemies, but at the same time first gave us a suitable facility, association of devotees, so that we could practice devotional service and not be disturbed with these enemies. So first Krishna created this facility for his devotees in Dwarka, and then transferred all of the sleeping residents of Mathura, immediately transferred them to Dwarka. And now Krishna was going to deal with demons. So similarly here, Lord Shiva is telling, now you have dealt with Hiranyakashipu enough, now you please deal with Prahlad Maharaj. It is now your time to render your affectionate transcendental relationship with Prahlad Maharaj. So then Jarasandha attacks and Kalyavan also attacks, and then Krishna is trying to be Bhakta Vatsali in every step. None of his activities are just Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinayasya Cha Dushkritam. It's again the worded simultaneously. They are not in different verses or a different part of the verses. Paritranaya Sadhunam and Vinayasya Cha Dushkritam are a simultaneous act or display of his Bhakta Vatsal feature. His Bhakta Vatsal feature to protect his devotees automatically renders into the killing of the demons. So Krishna is reminded of his great devotee Machukanda has been sleeping in ignorance for such a long time. So first of all, he appears to Machukanda first, destroys Kalyavan later, and here does not kill Jarasandha and but flees off. So then the question is there, why did Krishna and Balaram start running? And they start running, you know. You see many movies are being projected that, you know, they are superhumans and they run in a very superhuman ways. Krishna was the real original superhuman. He was not running by strides, they were running by yojanas. They were running as if super fast, super quick. So Jarasandha could not catch up with Krishna and Balaram, and they hid. They went up to the top of that mountain Pravarshana, and Jarasandha, not being able to find Krishna and Balaram, set fire all around the mountain. And Krishna and Balaram, now realizing that they didn't have to worry for the fire, but then they jumped from the mountain, 11 yojanas high, 88 miles from the top of the mountain, and they jumped way beyond the Jarasandha's army. So Krishna's fleeing is even described by Uddhav as being contradictory in nature, and ascribing that it closely resembles a human tendency to flee from enemy, to flee in fear. And he explains this contradictory emotions of the Lord as being transcendental and not just human displays of fear. And there is another reason. The hidden reason was that it was time for Krishna to be Bhakta Vatsal to Rukmini Devi. So Krishna is always on the move. Krishna is always on the move for his devotees. He is from place to place. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would also be going to places and temples all over the world just to reciprocate with his devotees, disciples who were struggling hard to push the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada went to Japan to meet Burijan Prabhu, and they were all trying to organize programs for Srila Prabhupada. And all of his devotees, disciples, received the same affection of Krishna through his devotees. And therefore, the devotees' displays of Bhakta Vatsal, in fact, they are really, the Bhaktas are Vatsal, that they are very loving even to the enemies and the demons. And here we find Krishna favoring his affection for Rukmini to escape from Jarasandha. Even in the Leelas of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu displayed very, very extreme proportions of this anger. And one of this was the Leela where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to march at the house of Kazi when the Mudanga was broken. And the Chaitanya Bhagavad explains in a very wonderful way, in a very different way too, and explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marched towards the Kazi's house, and he incited all of the people. And Lord Bali chanting, Hari, Hari, and said, march to the house of Kazi and ransack his house. And this was something which we see in kind of violent displays of human anger or revenge. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these devotees started chanting, amidst the congregation chanting, started destroying the garden groves, destroying the houses, entering the house of Kazi. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the extremely, unlimitedly angry. And that anger was such a rage that he called out to Kazi, I will destroy the entire Yavana race and I will kill you and cut you to pieces. And seeing this great display of anger, the devotees could not bear. Sometimes it's very difficult to bear. In fact, it's very pleasing to see Gopinath smiling, but very difficult to see the Supreme Lord in a fit of unlimited rage. Cannot recognize the Lord. Is this Gopinath? If he's angry, and very difficult to come before the altar if that was Lord Narsingdev on the altar. Therefore, we have a small picture of Lord Narsingdev somewhere. And we just, we don't see much of that anger. We just see some general haste. But that would be, imagine that same form of Narsingdev is magnified on as the form of Lord Gopinath. Would not be so pleasing and, would not be so encouraging to come for Mangalarti. Right? So just see, the devotees were not able to even reciprocate with this. Anger of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have not seen Mahaprabhu in such an anger, in an angry mood. He is Mahavadanya Avatar. He has come to display mercy. And therefore the devotees themselves had to go to Lord Chaitanya and they prayed. They fell down on their knees and said, Lord, in your incarnation of Sankarshan, expansion of Sankarshan, whose expansion is Rudra, he is supposed to display this anger. And that anger also is not displayed occasionally, it has a particular time. Therefore, it is not right for you to display this anger. So please return to your calm mood. Seeing the devotees praying and understanding. In fact, we find the demigods here also having that same mood. That we are rather terrified by this form. So you be affectionate to Prahlad, so then your form also will be congenial for us to meditate upon. So Krishna is very pleasing to his devotees. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calms down and takes his Sankirtan party back. Now here we find that Kazi is not, we don't find that pastime of Sisi where, in fact this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns back with his Sankirtan party. And another display of affection and anger is in the pastime of Jagai and Madai. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Lord Krishna, who was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, holding that chariot wheel to destroy Bhishma. Similar way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that Sudarshan Chakra to kill the miscreants Jagai and Madai. And display of affection was again outpoured in this amidst anger by the mercy and compassion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So we just want to briefly describe the pastime of Lord Krishna displaying this unlimited rage on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and shows so many range of emotions. And therefore we should not feel that Krishna is not able to reciprocate with each of the devotees, even those devotees may be very new or very neophyte or just struggling to serve. And Krishna is capable enough and Krishna has committed himself to please, to be affectionate to his devotees. So this was the event of Mahabharata war where Bhishma has been readying those 5 arrows specially for the 5 Pandavas. And Krishna is Antaryami. He knows, he is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He pleads Arjuna to go to Duryodhana and takes those 5 arrows as a boon. as a boon that was given to by Duryodhan previously. So when Bhishma comes to know, he says, nevertheless, if I cannot destroy the 5 Pandavas, I will definitely destroy Arjun tomorrow. And then Bhishma enters the battlefield in a rage, seeing how Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, and this encourages Bhishma to pour out more of his affection for Krishna. This is how the devotees and the Lord, they reciprocate. When the Lord becomes Bhakta Vatsal, the devotee also wants to commit himself in a greater proportion, seeing the mercy of the Lord. And that keeps the affection between devotee and the Lord in increasing proportions. Therefore, the only inspiration in Krishna consciousness is to render devotional service in a way which is congenial and favorable to the Supreme Lord, to please the Lord, and to experience that drop of affection which pours out an ocean of dedication in the heart of a devotee. And just a drop of bhaktavatsal affection of Krishna is enough to pour out another ocean of commitment and dedication from the devotee. And in this way, the devotee experiences the bliss of Krishna consciousness and wants to distribute that bliss of Krishna consciousness, the drop of that bhakta vatsal, to everyone that comes. So Bhishma was not anger. The devotees of the Lord are never angry. They know that if they become angered, their anger is not at the Lord, that they can display two simultaneous effect moods of anger and compassion. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord are always compassionate. But the Lord is so wonderful in his different moods and leelas that Bhishma actually wanted to rage such a war on the Pandavas that he started routing the army of the Pandavas in a very brutal way. All of them were trying, but the Pandava army and the Pandavas, the commanders and the very, very important generals were being killed. And here Arjuna was fighting with Bhishma. They were face to face, and Arjuna could not gather his courage because as a soft-hearted devotee could not think of piercing Bhishma's armor. And then Bhishma would fight because he wanted to draw that affection of Arjuna for Krishna. So the devotees are so united in their efforts to inspire each other in Krishna consciousness. And the Bhagavad Gita or the battlefield of Kurukshetra was nothing but this episode of Bhishma on the battlefield was to inspire Arjuna in his devotional service. Therefore, by one's own devotional service, the goal should be to please Krishna at the same time to inspire other devotees as a service. And this was the impetus for Bhishma to fight. Otherwise, there was no impetus for Bhishma other than to inspire Arjuna and to evoke the affection of the Lord. So that day was such a difficult day for the Pandavas, and everything was going against them. And Krishna, seeing Arjuna's helpless and Arjuna's timid nature, Krishna could not bear the routing of the Pandava army. And he, instead of even requesting Arjuna, Lord Krishna got out from his chariot. He ran halfway to Bhishma. In fact, he got out and he took out that broken chariot wheel, held in his finger resembling the Sudarshan Chakra, and started moving in the fit of rage, angered. And the description is given that Lord Krishna's anger was such a tremendous. He was about to kill Bhishma that very same moment, this very same day. He actually covered half a distance towards Bhishma. And Arjuna realized that Krishna is giving up his vow to kill Bhishma. And he didn't want to see Bhishma die at Krishna's hands, because then it would mean that Krishna broke the promise, because the devotee was incapable. So Krishna and his devotees, Krishna inspired Arjuna to take this radical action. So sometimes it takes some radical reaction for us to come out from our timidity and gather courage. So Arjuna went, as Krishna was raging, Arjuna was catching feet of Krishna, trying to hold him back. But Krishna kept on dragging Arjuna. Another 10 steps ahead. And Arjuna was pacifying the Lord. Please, I will fight. I shall kill Bhishma. Please do not break your vow. And then 10 feet, in fact, Arjuna was being dragged by Krishna. We can find this, that sometimes Krishna has to literally drag us to make us to recommit ourselves, to reform our consciousness, to gather our courage and fight Maya. And this is why when that living entity confirms and this initiation is nothing but confirmation. In fact, when we have these initiation vows, we vow at every time and every initiation when the disciple who's initiated reconfirms his vows at the time of initiation. That yes, I'm still that same spirit and not slowed down just because the time has passed and there are so many attachments over the years in devotional service too. So I want to reconfirm my commitment and dedication. So here, Krishna, when he finds Arjuna in a very decisive state of mind, determined to kill Bhishma, only then Krishna stops. And then Bhishma is enjoying this pastime. He's praying to Krishna, yes, please come and attack me. I want you to. This was the goal of my fighting in the Kaurava army, that I shall be killed by you. And then Bhishma, and the day ends that day, and the next day also, Krishna is, Yudhishthira is saying that we'll rather go back. We won't fight. We won't kill. And then Krishna says to Arjuna, no, you have to commit to your vow. And Krishna says, now how do you fulfill your vow? Keep Shikhandi by your side. Keep Shikhandi by your side and fight with Bhishma, because Bhishma will not fight Shikhandi, and then you can kill Bhishma easily. So Krishna is, this display of transcendental emotions of Lord's anger and bhakta vatsal nature is displayed here and fully manifested in the anger of anger of Lord Narsingdev, and Krishna's displays of anger and Krishna's displays of bhakta vatsal is simply to increase the dedication, absorption and the commitment of his devotees to render undeviated, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And this way we can find that it will be all very pleasing. And before that pleasing form of the Lord is smiling upon us, we need to face, we may have to face the wrath sometimes, so that we may reconfirm ourselves. And in this way, we can find this pastime is so wonderful. Now the object of our affection is going to be Prahlad Maharaj. And that's how Lord Narsingdev will display another feature of his bhakta vaksal nature. Gandhraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.